Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives on a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, which is field of blood. 4, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of those must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed 2 men: Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these 2 you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 disciples.
Okay. I've been to Area Park a few times over the years, and out in this area, you fox hunt so much different than we fox hunt in Wagga. How you do it out here, you sort of get in the back of a ute, go into the stubble and chase the foxes, and even the foxes live in trees out here, which is just crazy. Around the Wagga area, we've got, hills and valleys and rocks and blackberry bushes, and I whistle them. And I've got this little device. And what happens is we put it on, and this little thing is a bit of an attractor for the foxes. So they can sort of look down the paddock or look up where we are. And when I showed this particular device, they said, "You're crazy, that could never work." So we found a little bit of scrub and I put my machine down and started up. And not long after I started up, this big orange fox ran in and they couldn't believe it. It's just standing there looking at this device. And I said, "That's how it's done, boys." And I'd be faithful 223 with me, which is a rifle. Put me crosshairs on the fox's chest and I pulled the trigger and it went click. No bullet in the gun. And that fox ran away. And Keith and Pat have never, ever let me forget that day. And that's my area park story. But before I start, I'd just like to say today, I reckon that I've got a message that God has given me of faith, hope, and strength for us this morning. Father, would you just be with us now, each and every one of us, Lord, on a hot day, and our minds might seem to wander, that you might just help us to concentrate and listen to what you've prepared for us this morning in Jesus' name. Who would have actually thought that we would have made it to 2023? Look at Phyllis there. Now, Phyllis, I don't know. You've seen so much in your life, Phyllis. You wouldn't have thought, hey, all those years ago, hey, I would have been there in 2023. And guess what, Phyllis? You've only lived 1 second in eternity. I mean, you've got millions of years to live yet, and you're going to get a new body. But it is good to see you here, Phyllis. But you know what? As Christians, I believe 2023 is going to be a challenging year for all of us. You know, we're going to get bombarded by the secular. We're going to get bombarded by conspiracy theories, bombarded by the occult, bombarded by the internet and YouTube and pornography and all those sort of things are going to come into our life. So I thought today, as I started to read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, that I would like to bring a word of faith for us today. And don't we need a word of faith? But just getting back to the secular, we've got these beautiful friends in Wagga called, and you'd know them most probably, Andrew and Mary Skews. He's the ex-pastor of Wagga Baptist Church. And Andrew was telling me not so long ago that he went down to the local shop and wanted to buy some Christmas cards for people overseas. And he went down there and he's looking at the Christmas cards and he could not find one Christmas card with anything about Christ on it. They're all Santa Claus, jingle bells, Christmas trees, or whatever. But getting back to the book of Acts, the most quoted chapter in the book of Acts would have to be Acts chapter 2. And rightly so, because it's so important, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. But where I picked up some real treasure in the book of Acts was in chapter 1. Now, if we know our Bibles a little bit, we know that chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the birth of the Christian church, and it goes all the way up to chapter 28 with Paul being imprisoned in Rome. And it's really amazing, isn't it? Like if you've got an NIV Bible, there's about 30 pages about in the book of Acts, and it's 30 pages of church history. And I was reading a little bit the other day, and it was one sentence was 1.5 years. But I'm going to do a little bit of revision this morning for those who haven't been in this area for a while. The book of Acts was most probably written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And as I'd done my research, I see that Luke wasn't present at many of the events that he describes. We know from Scripture he was there with Paul at Philippi. He shared on that famous shipwreck going to Rome. He had plenty of time to talk to Paul and Barnabas and others at the Church of Antioch. He would have talked to James and Jesus' brothers. And you've got a lot of information, I believe, as you start the book of Luke with the birth of Jesus, of Mary. Luke was there, wasn't he, for some of the events, but not always. Not always as an eyewitness. But what he did was get all the evidence from the eyewitnesses. But why did he write such a long and tedious account? In order to give a Roman called Theophilus, I call him Theophilus because it's easy for me to pronounce that name, an accurate account about the true facts about Jesus Christ and Christianity. Because back in those days, there were so many fabricated theories and fabricated stories going around about Christ. It's estimated that the book of Acts was written around 63 AD. Thereabouts, there was no hint of Nero's persecution or the Jewish revolt in 66 to 70 AD. You know, as we finish Luke's gospel, it's sort of like we see Jesus go up into the clouds. So the book of Acts is a little bit like, you know, the gospel number two, and some people mightn't agree with me on that, but Luke's account is another gospel because Luke's account is good news. In Acts chapter 1, Luke tells Theophilus in his former book, the Gospel of Luke, all Jesus did and taught while he was on earth. Then after his resurrection, he appeared to many over a period of 40 days, spoke more about the kingdom, and then he was taken up into heaven. Then Jesus gave this command in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Do not leave Jerusalem, because there is a gift coming, that precious gift my Father is sending of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I was a writer of fairy tales, I reckon I could make the bestseller out of this. This all sounds humanly insane. You know, a man coming back to life, then he's taken up on the clouds, then he's going to promise to send a gift down, and then as we understand Scripture, he's going to return on the clouds in the same way. The truth is, the Bible is full of fairy tales to the secular world. The parting of the Red Sea. You know, a bush in the middle of the desert that burns and the voice of God comes out of it. Water coming out of a rock. And now this insane thing, this Jesus coming back to life. These are fairy tales to the secular world. But our God, the God of the universe, the real purpose here is that These supernatural events happen by the power of God to save sinners like you and me. As Scripture states, and this is so true, if there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. And you and me are still in our patheticness. We are still in our sin. We are still in our mud and our mire. So you might ask this morning, you might be thinking there this morning, what is this sermon about today? I believe it's going to be a faith strengthener for us for 2023 as we get bombarded by the secular. That God, through Scripture, built a book that is truthful, is God-breathed, and has witnesses to prove his writings. So as we pick up on verse 12, we see the followers return from the Mount of Olives, which was the Sabbath day's walk, which was about 1.2 kilometres. And I suppose because of Sabbath day rules, they couldn't walk too far. Then they arrived, and these lot of people are gathered in an upstairs room. You can get that picture in your mind. And they must have been pumped. They must have been absolutely ecstatic because now they knew all of this was truth. As we read on, there is 11 apostles, Jesus' brothers, Mary, and about 120 believers. There are so many witnesses there. By now, James knew that Jesus was the real deal. And we see, don't we, in verse 15, we see the denier of Christ three times. That simple fisherman get up, and he is the spokesperson of the group, the coward. But now he is the spokesperson. And he shares a quote out of the Old Testament, out of Psalms, saying that one has departed and another one in leadership should take his place. And, you know, as I read and studied chapter 1, a real treasure hit me. And I think for all of us, this has got to be a gold nugget in Scripture. One that can, once again, help us with our own personal faith journey. You know, when something like this hits you, it's like a treasure from God. A little bit unorganized here. You know, I've got a good friend of mine, and I've got a good friend of mine, and they bought a house. They bought a house of a shaky sort of deal, And things didn't work out too good through all that. And the house leaked. And it was a terrible house, just a bad deal. And they bought this house. And one day, they were up in the ceiling. I don't know, I think they were fixing leaks or putting bats up. It was just a terrible, terrible buy. And you know what they did? They found a treasure. So what I'd like to say is I found a treasure in verse 21 and 22. And I'm going to read that again with you this morning. And this is Peter talking. For Peter said, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, and there be one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and amongst us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must be a witness with us of his resurrection. And then they chose Matthias and started to make decisions that would start the Christian church. Now, this new apostle is now one of the 12. And this is so interesting. He must have been there for the whole show, from the time of John's baptism to the time Jesus was taken up to heaven. In other words, if you think about this truly, this is a pattern of truth. There is a building block of 12 men who had seen all these events, eyewitnesses to the supernatural events. You know what? We are all witnesses to something. I bet you Phyllis has witnessed so many more things than we've ever witnessed around this area. You know, in Wagga, you know, I witnessed the first coming of the first Christian college in Wagga. We've seen the Twin Towers fall. For some of us a bit older, we've seen the first man walk on the moon. You know, even Keith Dyson and Pat O'Brien witnessed the day that I didn't have a bullet in the gun, and they've never, ever let me forget that. But what I'm trying to say is this, that people born after the events have happened, you know what? They're not witnesses. But because we witness certain events, they are documented down as truth. It's not like watching YouTube. So we see Matthias being chosen as one of the 12. And let me say this twice. And this is most probably the most crucial part of the whole sermon here this morning. He had to have the credentials. He had to have been there for those events. Something supernatural here has happened. Jesus was resurrected. His followers had spent some part of the 40 days with him. Then his ascension. And one day he is coming back. And there are also 500 witnesses to his resurrection. This is a true account, both in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. These 12 confirm the truth of these actual events, that Jesus ministered for 3 and a little bit years. He performed miracles. He cared. He loved. He showed compassion. And then he was crucified. Then he appeared and he was alive for 40 days. And then was taken up into heaven in a miraculous way and is going to come back, as Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says. He's going to come back. Look, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who have pierced him. So chapter 1 of Acts, what a chapter. Well, I think a lot of us can miss little treasures like this, and we put so much emphasis on chapter 2, and we should rightly do that, because that is the life-giving Holy Spirit that come upon us. But we can miss main faith-building events like Matthias. You know, God, honestly, God is a God of structure. And the point of this sermon is that these events are documented down to give me and you more faith. And here in chapter 1, God is getting his building blocks right for the structure of his church. And Luke, the physician, Luke, the doctor, just happened to be his pen and paper to let us know that his word is true. Jesus even states, And this is so true in our lives, isn't it? Jesus states, don't build your house. Don't build your faith. Don't build your life on shaky ground, because what's going to happen? It's bound to crumble. But Luke's account only goes to confirm that these 12 men witnessed all the events from finish to start. They'd seen the miracles. They were there when the miracles were going on. They'd seen the cruel cross. They'd seen the resurrection. And some of them had spent part of the 40 days with him. And then they witnessed him going up on the clouds. And now these 12 and many more are waiting in, as we get that picture, waiting in this upper room for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. I reckon somebody might be thinking today, this guy has been like a rhetorical tape recorder, all about the events that Luke has portrayed for us. But you know what? That is what you and me in this small church here this morning, that's what you and me and millions of others around the world are putting our faith into. That's what you and me are putting our trust in. That's what you and me are putting our eternal destiny into. You know, I've got an apprentice at work, beautiful guy. Mark's his name. Well, he's finished his apprenticeship now. And he was sort of around the Christian circles a little bit in his life. And I took him to church not so long ago. And I said to Mark, what do you think about Christ and Christianity? And he was so honest with his answer. And Mark said to me, Peter, he said, I would hate, this is so honest when we think about it, I would hate to waste my whole life on something that wasn't there when it was all over. I thought that was so honest. That's why God wanted Matthias to be another witness for us. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and teach the truth. You know, we could take this very personally here this morning and change the name of Theophilus and put our own name in it. The book of Acts, this is the truth, the book of Acts was written for everyone who has ever lived and ever will live, so that we can know with certainty of the things that took place and know that this is a solid structure, it's true, and it's not shaky. You know, I'm still studying the book of Acts and seeing some wonderful treasures in it. But it really made me think, as I studied Acts and studied Luke, how incredible the whole structure of the Bible is. You know, going back all the way to the book of Genesis, and God says, I created. And you know what? For me, that's logical. You know, science changes its theory every week. You know, the same structure is there all the way through the Bible with Moses and the prophets. I think as Christians, don't we? I think as Christians, we like to know that someone, we're blessed to know that someone is in control. Because as we look at the mess that we're in as a human species, we certainly haven't got the peace and tranquility that we should have. And it's such an encouragement, and I just want to encourage you this morning, it's such an encouragement to know that God has got a plan for us as his people with some undeniable building blocks to strengthen our faith. It starts with one person, and that is Jesus Christ as our Savior. Christ paid on that cross, that cruel cross for our sins, then resurrected so we also can have eternal life. And then God leaving, as chapter 2 comes on, God leaving us with his Holy Spirit so that we can live a life of repentance and live a life going forth in Christ. Now, don't we? And this is going to happen. This is the truth. And Phyllis knows this. Now, as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, it could be 2023, and it could come like a thief in the night. You know, these are exciting truths for us as Christians. We're in 2023, and anyone's faith who is wavering, anybody who has doubts here this morning, I believe that we've hit some solid evidence in Acts chapter 1. 12 men all together, witnessed it all in agreement with the truth. 120 followers, 500 people that witnessed the resurrection. You know, what more proof do we need? You know, I've been a baker most of my life for about 50 years. You can ask my wife, I love baking. I go home sometimes and do a little baking in the kitchen, which she doesn't like. But when I did my apprenticeship, I went to TAFE. And we had some documented papers on ways to produce baked products. You know, there's procedures, there's structure, there's temperature, there's mixing, moulding, proving, baking. You know, things have changed over the years. When I did my apprenticeship, I did it at a little bakery like that one there in Area Park here. It was down at the Rock, just south of Wagga. And to tell you the truth, we used to have to, in the summertime, get the water out of the well. We had to chop wood. And some of the smaller doughs we used to have to mix by hand. Today we have machinery, and I praise God for that machinery. But if something is not working out, you know, if a dough fails, I can still go back to those documented papers, to the original thesis of baked product, and the TAFE work just might help me to work out and solve the problem. You know, our problem is, and my problem is, maybe not yours, but my problem is that I don't explore the truth of God's word enough. That's built on a structure that we can trust. We run here, we run there. And on trusting, if we trust on him, it gives us that faith that we need to live a life that can give glory to God. You know, there's been changes and variants from the time Jesus was on the earth. You know, in Jesus' time, they used to walk everywhere. You know, today we drive cars, fly planes. But I know one thing, the human heart is still the same, and it aches for something that cannot be fulfilled except by Christ. You know, 2,000 years ago, the world was waiting and they ached. Then Jesus came. So I today just hope. And you can go home and study this for yourself. Acts chapter 1 and the 12th apostle who witnessed it all. I hope today this has enriched your faith as it has mine. And I just hope for all of us, me included, more than anybody else, that this can give us strength for 2023. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. First of all, Father, we just thank you that you even think about us, that you even care for us, that you even love us, but you do. And Lord, you've got a book there for us too, a structured book with so much evidence and knowledge and wisdom in it. I just pray this year, Lord, that we can take that to heart, that we can start to dig in and learn more of what you'd want us to do. Lord, strengthen us up so that we can go out from these places and just be your witnesses, just like in those days of the early Acts. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.